Hello, this is Bixby. Welcome to the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast. Here is your host, Roger Kibbe.
Hello, Bixby Developer Chat listeners. Today, I have the honor of talking with Christian Manka and Sebastian Chops of Irreality. Irreality creates interactive and compelling voice experiences. Christian, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, first of all, Roger, I would like to say how grateful we are being here today. Thank you very much for inviting us. Well, my name is Christian. I'm a passionate storyteller and a narrative designer and writer. Together with Sebastian, I founded Irreality in 2017. At Irreality, I'm taking care of business relationships, business development, and of course, interactive storytelling. Though I love all of those works, I hopefully find time to write more stories of my own in the near future and get rid of all the other works.
Great. And hey, Christian, I understand it's a special day for you today. I understand it's your birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Though it seems to be more of a special day to all the other guys. Yeah, it's my birthday and I'm 42 now. So as we all have read probably Douglas Adams, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, we all know that 42 is the answer to all the questions.
It's the meaning of life. So you'll discover it at 42.
Yeah, exactly. So it fits perfectly with the podcast here and storytelling.
Perfect. Well, thanks. And Sebastian, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Roger. I'm actually way younger than Christian. I'm still 41. So I originally worked in the telco industry. I led a team of software developers there. And some years ago, I decided to go for the freedom of following my own ideas. And then I met Chris, and it became quite clear to me that it will be lots of fun and a great fit. And since then, it's my job at Irreality to develop all the crazy ideas that Chris and the others of the team have into the platform that we built so that our users can really enjoy writing interactive stories.
Great. So how long have you been developing for voice? And I'm curious about what we all started with something else and then join this voice journey that we're all on. So how long have you been developing for voice and what got you started developing for voice?
Well, I started in 2017 when this new thing called Alexa came up and there were lots of different ideas where to go. I think the craziest idea was a skill that recognizes the meowing of our cats and opens an electric door for her. So we didn't start at a voice-first company. It was more a meow-first company, but that didn't work out, honestly. And the first real skills were little helpers, like getting flight information of delays or something, or what to wear when you want to go jogging or cycling. And also the thing I was most proud of, I built a skill that can play chess against you. And that was also a challenge for me that I focused on building skills or stuff. And when I was at 80 or 90%, I started working at something different that was way more interesting. So for me, it was very great and a blessing to meet Chris, who was able to really take a product and to do all the stuff that's needed to make use of it.
Hey, and Christian, you describe yourself as a storyteller. Tell me about how you got involved with voice.
Yeah, it happened to be that I was on my holidays in France. I was lying at the beach and I got a call from Sebastian and another friend of us. And he said, hey, I'm meeting with another guy here with Tobias and we are discussing voice. And they talked about ideas about lots of meowing and cats and doors. And then we talked a little bit more. And after 2 minutes, we had the idea of coming up with interactive stories because I'm much into stories and gaming. I like playing pen and paper. I like playing RPGs on my computer. So I thought, hey, it would be great to have all kinds of stories rewritten where users can make their own decisions and get their personal individual story and become the hero of their own story. And that really sounds so convincing and fascinating to the three of us that we started to found the company on the spot.
A meow first voice company, then.
Yes.
So tell me about that meow first voice company, Irreality. What does Irreality do?
That's a very good question. The question should rather be, what aren't we doing? Though we try to focus all the time or get our focus back on interactive storytelling. At the moment, we're doing more things than we want to do. Our long-term goal is to provide a self-service tool for writers and authors and game designers so that they can create interactive stories for voice very easy, very quickly. But we have been developing our platform since 2017, and it's a long way from there. So on that way, we took up being an agency for clients like Disney, Audible, or radio and television channels from Germany. We have a team of writers who create stories for those companies. Mostly they use interactive stories or interactive audiobooks as kind of promotion tools for movies or whatever, or games. So we serve, at the moment, we serve both. We serve our clients, do projects for them, creating stories and voice applications. And on the other side, we're a publisher of our own. We have our own stories running. With all this, we want to get impulses and feedback and develop our platform. Hopefully, now we are in the last steps to finish the platform and release it for authors and writers all over the world so they can create an account and start writing their stories and publishing them for voice without the need of having to program any line of code. It's just a visual-based interface where you can really quickly and easily write your story.
So you intrigued me when you said they use this as promotional tools for other media. Because one of the questions that I've kind of wrestled with voice is, so how does, we'll call it old school media, movies, authors, musicians, etc., how do they come into voice? And what you're seeing is people are using it as promotional tools for their main media releases then?
For sure, not all of them. But, you know, the German market is maybe a little bit behind development of voice market in UK or other countries who are leading in voice at the moment. So companies in Germany, they want to try out. They want to experiment with this new thing called voice. Monetization is also a topic which is quite new. It started later in Germany. So first thing which came into mind of a lot of companies was, okay, we have a strong brand or we have a cool product and we have marketing campaigns running for those. So let's try and add some voice elements to the mix and see what happens. Find out about how do people react to the product being on voice or react to different formats on voice. What do they love? What do they don't like? Which formats work? So things are getting more clearer now. Companies also start and developers to monetize their voice applications. But they had, of course, to try and find out. And that seems to be, or for us, it seems to be at the beginning more of a marketing topic.
Yeah, I think there's an amazing opportunity in voice for companies to jump in, if just on the marketing side, and use it and experiment and get your feet wet and figure out how you're going to connect with your customers through this new medium. But tell me about some of the voice experiences you've built with Irreality.
Yes, at the beginning, we wrote a lot of stories of our own. So I was the main writer at Irreality. We tried around with different formats like interactive audiobooks. It's like pick a path stories. Mm-hmm. We also experimented with voice adventures, which is rather like a choose your own adventure games, which is a more complex form of gaming. We started with a series for children. It's called The Magic Forest. It's a modern fairy tale in a magical world. And it now has 8 episodes already published, and 4 or 5 are still to come this year. It's really great. Children love voice. They interact with the story heavily and they get lost in the story. It's very fascinating having them interact with the protagonists of the story, or even like in the Magic Forest, you as a user, you become part of the story, because our stories always addresses you as you, and you are a character in the world. And you can decide on how to interact with other characters in the story, how the plot or the things should develop in the story. So it's very exciting for children. They play the stories a lot. They play them repeatedly. That's very cool, very fascinating. It's one of the best running skills from our side. Another voice experience which we build is a more complex story. It takes you 70 or 80 minutes for a single playthrough. It's a fantasy tale called The Iron Falcon, which is also published on Samsung Bixby, of course, as a capsule. And that's a choose-your-own-adventure game with your smart speaker or your Bixby as a sidekick. That's the concept of the story. So in kind, it's a tribute to those old choose-your-own-adventure games like Lone Wolf from Joe Dever. It's part of a tribute to this guy who invented the whole genre. And on the other side, it's making fun of the whole thing. And it's kind of parody, because when Bixby, after some minutes, comes into the story as your sidekick, it's making fun of all of your decisions. It's commenting on them. It's trying to boycott your progress through the story. It's users really love that. That story was quite successful. It won the Amazon Alexa Game Skill Challenge in 2018. And originally, we started off with the story in Germany. And in 2020, we released it for UK and US, and we recorded that. That's something I'm very proud of, with the voice actor Matthew Mercer. Most listeners should know the guy. He's the one who plays Dungeons and Dragons with Vin Diesel. And he's really an amazing voice actor. He's giving so much flavor to the story. People really love his voices and what he's doing there.
All right. Well, this seems like a good time to play a little audio clip from Iron Falcon.
Dim light, stale smoke. Those memories you were actually hoping to drown in wine, they only intensify with each glass. The images keep flashing before your eyes. Scenes of fire raining down on the caravanserai. Sounds of slaughter. The shrill war cry of the invaders as they poured through the breached wall into the forecourt. A touch on your shoulder tears you from your thoughts. It's the host. He carefully takes the cup from your hand.
"Bedtime, Sodak," he grumbles good-naturedly. "You'll get another chance to drink yourself to death tomorrow."
Groaning, you stand up and stagger out of the black unicorn. The cool harbor breeze rouses you. You look up, and as you do, you notice 3 figures stepping into the alley ahead. Unkempt, stumpy men dressed in rags for jackets. They're your garden variety street trash. Best to steer clear at night, especially considering how drunk you are.
"Do yourself a favor and don't fight back,"
their scar-faced leader orders you as he takes a step closer. Do you want to attack, run away, or insult him?
Listener, that gives you a little sneak preview of what it's like to play Iron Falcon. I can tell you that I played it. It's a very intriguing game and lots of fun. And before you know it, many, many minutes have passed and you're having a lot of fun. And there is a sense of humor in the game, which I really, really enjoyed. So tell me more about the creative process. So you built these interactive audio experiences, you've built some things that are promotional experiences for big brands. How does this work? How does the creative process start and how does it evolve over time?
That depends on the author involved. We started off in 2018 by contacting several authors of Choose Your Own Adventure games in Germany and showed them our tool and said, hey, would you like to try out our tool, maybe develop an Alexa skill, just write a story here, it can be a short story, just feel free, have fun. But we got a good feedback from them, so people came on our platform and we coached them in interactive storytelling for voice because they are normally they write for readers and now they had to write for listeners, which is quite different. We coached them, which takes normally an hour or 2 hours, an initial coaching with the screen sharing tool. So we guide them through the tool and explain what are good choices, how you have to structure your tree chart and stuff like that. And after that, the writers started to begin their stories, get back to us with feedback or needed some kind of lecture in. So we were always in dialogue with the guys and they come up with a lot of crazy ideas, which was very fascinating to us. Because what we really experienced was with our tool, it's very easy for writers to concentrate and focus on what it's all about. On stories and choices. And when they wrote books, normally they were thinking in terms of like, okay, I write a fantasy story where someone is in a dungeon. That's 90% of the Choose Your Own Adventure games in book form. When they started to write for voice, they started experimenting with other genres and crazy ideas. One guy had the idea of the user being a shapeshifter. The user could play with the story and he could decide in each story section if he wants to play as a human or as a werewolf. So he has different perspectives on the story and experienced different sections differently. Another writer had the idea of the user being in a damaged spaceship where each choice would cost you a certain amount of oxygen, which would be a kind of limiting resource. This would create pressure and tension for the user with each choice besides the story. Yeah, there's so many crazy ideas or great ideas for storytelling, which they came up now. And that's also because voice is a new media. It makes writers and game designers think in new ways. And that's very cool.
You know, one of the things that I get excited about when I talk to people like you is really bringing authors into the voice space. Because, you know, authors know how to create characters and personas. But voice offers, as you said, this new creative medium for them to express their creativity and their talent in an entirely new way in some ways, but also leveraging a lot of what they've done in the past. So I think it's super, super exciting. And I would love to see more authors come into the voice space. So kudos to people like you and companies like yours to make that easy and encourage authors to go try voice out and see what an amazing way it is to build an interactive story that will resonate with your listeners and your more than listeners, your voice customers, or however you want to put it. I don't know if you have a name for it, but they're not listeners.
You're players. Yeah, hey. Actually, it's a good question because interactive stories, the user is not only a listener, he's also a player of the game. Sometimes this depends on the formats. We have audiobooks or interactive stories, which are more of a game, and others which are more like an audiobook.
Right. Yep, two different ways. I love the fact that you said they're getting kind of crazy ideas.
Yeah, maybe the listeners of the podcast can bring up a name for this new kind of user.
Yeah, so it's a player implies game. Listener implies one way, kind of listening. So I get some are games, but if it's not game, it's more of an interactive fiction. What's the name? Good question. Maybe a listener will come up with something.
Yeah, the community should solve the problem for us.
There we go. So tell me about on the technology side. So you've got an author They're interested in building this interactive experience. How does that work and how do you bring that into the technology and release that onto voice platforms?
Yeah, and that really is a challenge because I think it's still pretty complicated to publish skills or capsules or whatever on platforms. There are so many approaches that try to make this easier and really good approaches that work. But for me, it still feels like we are in a world where it feels like programming building for voice. And on the other hand, we have our authors that are not the most experienced guys with regards to tech. So our approach was really from the beginning to focus on interactive stories and to make it as easy as possible for authors to create their stories. And we have our tool called Twist. He works there in a graphical way without writing any code. And I even tried it with my 10 and 12-year-old kids, and they could write stories pretty quickly. And then the second part, when you have your story, you need to publish it with the whole certification process and anything. And we try to make this also as easy as possible. And for Alexa, for example, you can directly publish the stories as a skill with this skill management API that Amazon provides. And for Google and Bixby, he has to download a file from our tool and then he can upload that to Dialogflow or use it in the Bixby Developer Studio and go from there because there are no APIs yet, but we hope for them and hope that they will be there at some point.
All right. So Twist, so that is your voice authoring platform. Tell me more about how that works from the technology side or maybe from a process side. If I was an author and I wanted to go use Twist, how would that work? And what are your plans for Twist? So two-part question.
Yeah, right now you would contact us, you get your account, and we will guide you through it because it's not, from the user experience point, it's not where it should be before we want to hand it out to anyone. So you would go in there, he has this graphical tool where he can draw shapes. It's pretty similar to VoiceFlow, but really focused on creating interactive stories. It's not as flexible maybe as VoiceFlow, but it's easier for this one single task.
Yeah, as a writer myself, the first writer actually who was on the tool and who's still on the tool, the basics haven't changed. It really deletes everything you don't need as an author. You have one section in the tool where you just can concentrate on writing your story. So you just start the modeler, you draw up the first shape and write your text, which will be read to the user. And then you can decide on some special kinds of what this text field should be. Is it a one-way field, which means you can add several of those behind each other and they will be handled like one text block, because that might be interesting for making rather complex structures within the story. Or if you make it an option list and so you include the continuations for the user, which he then used as an utterance. And after that, if your basic story starts with you stand at a crossroad, do you want to go left or right? You add left and right as your continuations. And then you simply draw from that field, you draw two other shapes. That's your connections and the story goes left and right and you write your specific text in the next fields. Basically, that's it. For a writer who is not used to write and think interactively, the greatest problems will be, do I write one story path first and then add the other story parts? Or do I write, like, if I have the first question and then I have my options, like I go to the left, I go to the right, do I first write what's left and then what's right, and then I continue from there on. So doing it parallel or in a row. But I guess that depends on the author and what he wants to achieve and what kind of story he's writing. Yeah, basically, that's it. You are free to go in the tool to do whatever you want. And as it's a visual tool, it's very easy to follow your own story, jump back to certain points in the story, making connections to other parts of the stories which come later on. So it's very easy to use. It gives you a good overview over where is the story developing and where is it going at any time.
Got it. So one thing I noticed about your voice experiences that I've tried is all that I've tried use voice actors. And you mentioned in Iron Falcon, you use Matthew Mercer, which was a great choice. Is everything you do voice actors? Are you doing anything with TTS?
Yeah, as you said, our first big story really played with this idea of using text to speech versus real voice. And there are a lot of productions. Christian mentioned already Disney's Toy Story that we did last year, and they utilized the original voices of the actors to be as close as possible to the thing they want to promote. And yeah, I think, or right now we think that synthetic voices are not as good yet, I would say, and as immersive as we would need it to really listen to it for more like 10 seconds. Because if you ask what time is it, you don't care about the voice. But if you play interactive story for 80 minutes or so, it's really important that there is a good voice. We will get to this point eventually, I think. And this will be great because it will enable our everyday authors to really write captivating stories without the expensive and complex task of finding and hiring voice actors. So we are looking forward to getting really good voices from Bixby, from Alexa. But right now, I think for stories, we rely on the voice actors.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly when you use a voice experience, you can tell right away whether it's a voice actor or it's a TTS. You know, even if it's something they've gone and, you know, heavily massaged the TTS and done some interesting things there, after three or four sentences, it starts to sound kind of monotone to me. And sometimes that turns you off as a human. But when you hear a real voice actor, it the intonation is right, the interest is right. You know, I think that's really challenging from an AI perspective because you need to understand the kind of the emotional aspect of what's being said or the sentiment. There. It's not just the words, it's the meaning behind the words. So yeah, I mean, I think great TTS that understand emotion and sentiment would be a huge unlock, but that's a huge, huge challenge to build.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look, for example, at what Matt Mercer did with our Iron Falcon, there are like, I don't know, 10 or 12 characters, and they all have their own voice. And so I don't know how that should be possible by an AI.
They don't only have their own voices, but he's also giving character to them by making use of his voices. So you really have an image in your mind of the person who's speaking in the story. But fun fact, TTS is getting better thoroughly because Iron Falcon has one severe problem at the moment. Originally, it was written in German, 2018, when the Alexa voice was really very monotonous and sounded like a machine voice. And when we had Iron Falcon translated into English and released it for Bixby, Alexa in UK, US, Canada, etc., the first feedback we got was, oh, yeah, your story is great. I really love the story. Top of notch written, whatnot. But there are some audio files missing in your story. And we went, okay, what audio files are missing? And we checked on the story and there weren't any audio files missing. So we asked the guys who gave us the feedback and they said, yeah, look at this part and this part. And we said, this is read by Alexa. or by Bixby, and we said, yeah, that's the gag of the story. That was intentionally. But the problem is that the TDS for English language is much, much better than the German. So in Germany, it was very clear that this is built by intent, that Bixby appears as a sidekick in the story. But in the English version, we had Alexa or Bixby introduce themselves on the First Experience and say, "Hi, it's me, Bixby," so that the users know, this isn't any missing audio files. That's part of the story. So TDS is getting much better.
Interesting. So you introduce the voice assistant back into the experience and say, "Hi, I'm Bixby," or "Hi, I'm Alexa," which everyone knows those voices or whatever voice they've set up their voice assistant in. That's clever. And then you can intersperse it with the voice actors. Yeah, I could see a lot of creative things you could do there. Lots of opportunities there.
It's breaking the fourth wall, and it's very immersive because this, not only you in an interactive story, you as a user, you go into this world and you're not a passive reader or listener. You are the hero of the story in an interactive story. So it's you, like in a game, the story becomes your story and you move into this other world. But when Bixby appears as a sidekick, then the world enters your world. So it's very immersive because both worlds are merging, and that's a cool concept. It's breaking the fourth wall, but it also makes the story very exciting and very funny.
I love it. Using the mixture to enhance creativity. Hey, I want to ask you, Sebastian, I want to jump back on the technology side for kind of a question around. So you have this tool that I go and build as an author. I can build this interactive experience, but then you deploy to multiple platforms. I know you have a lot out for Alexa. You have a couple Bixby capsules. I believe you have a couple things for Google. So tell me about on the actual delivery side, are you using a cross-platform framework? Is it separate code bases for each? What are your plans there and how does it work right now?
Yeah, it's not only the publishing, it's also when the requests come in from the voice platforms. But what we do is we have an abstraction layer that receives requests and basically transforms these requests into a common format, and then we can handle those requests in our process engine, and that's a single code base, and then it gets transformed again into the platform specific format and played back there. So basically what we have been doing there is what IT does for the last 50 years, the basic concept of input, process, output. So not much development on our side. We do what we've been doing for 50 years.
Got it. So there's a thin layer of voice assistant specific code that then calls your API. You do most of your logic and that in the backend API and then return it in whatever that voice assistant specific code, whatever format it needs to
be
used.
And it doesn't even have to be, it wouldn't have to be a voice platform. It could be basically any platform that we put our content to.
Got it. Web? Have you thought about having a web-based version of these stories?
Yeah, we actually do. We had one customer, a German TV station, that had a big production with us, and it was their request to have a website where you can play the story. Yeah, and this website exists, and yeah, it basically uses the same path through our system, and yeah, we can play our stories on websites. Yeah, and with the new version of our Twist tool, it will be only like a one line of code of JavaScript or JavaScript that you will need to embed in your page and you will be ready to go. So it's pretty easy.
Awesome. That's exciting. I'm actually really bullish about voice and the web and kind of marrying those two worlds that have kind of grown up separately, but there's so much content and audience on the web. if you bring the web into kind of an interactive voice experiences, I think it's good for voice assistants in general and the whole industry for people to start getting used to interacting with their technology via voice. Hey, so jumping back to the business side, I want to understand your business model. If I was an author and let's say I'd written some books and I was like, wow, I really want to build this interactive voice experience. How does this work? Do I license the tool or what are your plans around monetization currently? How does that work and what are the plans in the future for that?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, we are in the process of finishing the platform and the business model and legal things behind it, like contracts and rights, etc. But so for now, we work mostly for agency doing business projects for our clients when they came up with cool ideas for their brands. We really love to do that. It's really cool and fascinating. And hopefully in the next month, we will open our platform and then you can just create an account on our website, log into the tool, make use of all of that. We will have some partners who will create tutorial videos and coaching videos. We will offer webinars for writers to learn about interactive storytelling for voice. The business concept is commission. So we will take a share of what the authors will earn with our tool, be it by our in-skill purchases or upsells with their voice application. We will also offer an abo model for customers in which authors can participate, like something like a Reality Unlimited or a Master Skill, where all the stories which were made with our tool and which are published under the Reality label can be found. So writers won't have the problem of discovery and reach any longer.
Great. Yeah, you know, I think I said I was super bullish on interactive fiction, but I'm also super bullish on the idea of, as an author or a publishing house releases a book, release a voice experience with it as a way, as an interactive way of marketing that and something complementary to it. I could go on and on, but I think there's an amazing opportunity for tools like what you're building to enable the TV industry, the movie industry, the publishing industry, the radio industry, the music industry to come in and take and leverage both existing content and new content and make it an interactive experience that kind of enhances and augments the more one-way experience that traditional media provides. So kudos.
Of course. Yeah, of course. With our tool, you can also add images for smart speakers with a display. So you can show images while playing by voice. You can also add videos. So something like Bandersnatch, you could just write your script in our tool. You make the videos and upload them to our tool. They will be sorted automatically and your interactive new Bandersnatch or Black Mirror series is ready to go. It's also, I guess, very interesting for the gaming industry because you can normally, you know, in the gaming industry, they always have the problem with their releases. I seldom see a bigger release being just in time. Normally, you have to wait 6 months, 12 months, or even 2 years until the new game is released. That sometimes fans doesn't love that to have to wait. So if you can provide like an interactive game for voice, a story game for the fan base, for the community, to shorten the time of waiting, I guess this will be appreciated with great emotions from the fans. They will really love the gesture. And as a gaming industry or company, you can try out storylines. You can try out which characters do people really like when they play the story, which story twists do people like and which don't they like. So you can avoid millions of invest in your computer game or Xbox game or PlayStation game, and you can try out in shorter versions in an interactive story for voice.
Ooh, I love that idea. So not only kind of a marketing that's kind of a preview of what's coming, but give it a try, like an A/B test, and see people like this path or that, and kind of have it actually affect the development of those games. Because we know that companies spend tens of millions of dollars on video game development, right? That's great. Wow. Another great industry to bring into this.
They have so many things what they can do with it. They can also tell about the time between two games. If you have a sequel of a game, people ask, okay, but what happened between those two games? And normally it's a short video or a tutorial which explains, okay, 3 years have passed and this and that had happened in this world. It would be much cooler for the fans if they can have that episode as an interactive game for voice, a story which they can play, and or the story of a side character or whatever. I mean, you have so many movies or books where you are asking yourself, what became of that guy? Did they marry? What became of the girl? Did they marry finally, or did she went into this other world? And you can tell so many side stories and cool stories between your main stories. I guess it will really be exciting, not only for the users to explore interactive stories, but it will also be exciting for games and movie companies to explore the format of interactive stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of augment, enhance, or kind of finish the sideline story or part of the story.
Yes.
I love it. Hey, so you guys have built quite a few experiences that are interactive fiction, choose your own adventure type voice experiences. What advice would you have for people who are building these? What have you seen that works? What have you seen that doesn't work?
Okay, my best advice would be, if you're not familiar with the format of writing interactively, start with a short story, maybe target children, because children are a good audience. They have patience. They don't focus on errors. They focus on good aspects of a story. So they're not like us adults who are always critics of everyone and everything. Children are very positive and open-minded. So make it a children's story. Make it a short story, 10 to 15 minutes for a playthrough. And you can start with simple questions, like yes and no questions or left and right. Then you will become more experienced and you will try out new questions or other choices, and you will develop yourself and get into more complex stories. Then you can jump to to all kind of stories after that. So it's best thing is just to try out, take a simple story, make it cool. Maybe if you have, for Iron Falcon, which is an award-winning story, a friend of mine, a girl, she said she was making fun of me at one time while I was on stage, and she made me laugh with the comment. She was commenting on something very sarcastically, which only I listened to, or only I could hear at the moment. And I thought, hey, that would be great if you really focus on something and trying to achieve something, and it's very serious, and there's a voice whispering in your ear making you laugh. So that was the idea of Iron Falcon. So pick one good idea. It can be about a story or about a game mechanic, and just try out and develop it from there. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I love the idea of starting with kids. You're so right. There's been these studies of voice assistants and kids' usage, and whereas we get impatient with them, they're fine. They'll retry things. They don't care if something doesn't work. It's kind of more fun to talk to a voice assistant, where we expect perfection. And then, great. Start simple, build on your successes, and as you get more experience, build more complexity in there as needed.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids' games, let's take a little break and hear a clip from The Magic Forest.
In the shadow of an old tree, a little creature is sitting there and stares into the distance. I can't see too good. Do you believe this could be Ziggy? Say yes or no.
Yes.
Well, how can you know that? You don't know what he looks like. Let's approach him a bit more. You approach the creature carefully. The moment you approach, it turns to you and you recognize a little bear. He is almost as big as you, has little brown eyes and white fur. And you know what's strange? He wears a little white rabbit costume. This costume has a hood and rabbit ears. He twinkles at you and looks very cuddly. Hi, my name is Siggy. Are you here in the Magic Woods for the first time?
I have also two other advices. One is avoid fake decisions. There are a lot of writers who make or who give the user bad choices. Like they say, Roger, imagine you're standing at a crossroad. There's a lake to the left and there's a mountain to the right. Do you want to go to the left or to the right?
Yeah, then I have a choice. Do I want to go to the lake or mountain? That seems more real to me. Is that your point? The left or the right? Given some context?
Yeah, it's better, but it's not good because I will show you what writers do. So just answer, what would be your choice? Do you want to go to the lake or to the mountain?
The lake.
Okay, you go to the lake, but the path is blocked. You choose the other way and go to the mountain. And that's frustrating, but writers do it very often. They give you choices, but there's no continuation for most of the choices. That's what we call a fake decision.
Ah, got it.
It's just an illusion of, hey, wow, there's freedom here. I can do whatever I want. So why do writers do that? Because if you go to the lake or if you can go to the lake or to the mountain, it's two different paths. And you have to write a lot of text and a lot of stories and more options. So they're kind of lazy. They give you a choice, but the choice isn't there. So what would be much better is to give you a flavor choice instead. A flavor choice in this case would be, you want to go to the lake? Do you want to go slowly and take your time and look around what's on the way? Or do you want to hurry up?
Ah, got it.
And now the story is also short. That's what you want as an author. Your tree chart doesn't explode. It's still smart and lean. But for the user, it's really a choice because he has to think, who am I? Am I the guy who's a wanderer looking around, enjoying the nature and exploring things? Or am I the busy guy who wants to hurry up and get to the lake and got to do the things who have to be done there? So you have to learn about choices. What's a good choice? And how can I keep my story neat and clean? But how do I make a good user experience?
That is very cogent advice. And I can see if you're an author who's used to writing a book, which is serial, one direction, where it would be kind of a cheating to make a false choice. Whereas you could take the same story and, like you said, walk slowly and look around or walk quickly and build that all out. Wow. That's I can see how that happens and what great advice that is.
Yeah, it's not only about what happens in the story, but it's mostly about who am I in that story. And that's great. That is what people actually love.
Right. So getting your player or listener involved in the story makes a ton of sense. Hey, guys, you've been building Alexa skills for some time. And I know you built a bit with Google, but more recently, you built some capsules for Bixby. Can you tell me what your experience has been like with Bixby?
Yeah, we really like the approach, the kind of different approach that Bixby takes with the developer suite. It was good that we were part of the Bixby Premier developer program that really helped us in developing our first capsules because it was clearly easy to get feedback during the development. For example, we had issues because this audio SSML feature was newly published and it was new for everyone. And that's, well, we need it because as we stated before, text to speech is not good enough. And so we were like, what? Audio is not possible. But then it was implemented and we really got great help from yeah, from you, from Pete Haas was involved, I guess, and Jeff Wong, and our friend Daniel Mittendorf. He really helped us in developing the capsule, and that was great. So it was all in all, it was a really great, great experience. And yeah, we are looking forward to what will come on the Bixby side and what we can use, yeah, to just create even better stories.
That's great. Thank you. And I didn't know you guys had collaborated with Daniel Bettendorf. Wow. Some great brains all collaborating together. I love what Daniel built. I love what you guys have built. So keep that collaboration going, because both of you are very, very creative people. Hey, so speaking of Bixby, it's on phones right now. Just released it so you can build experiences for the watch. But it's also coming to TVs and smart appliances later this year. What are those new devices get you most excited?
We love innovation, and we are very excited about the development and the new devices. I guess TV is very, very cool, or big screens and displays, because I think that voice will perfectly match up with video or even gaming. That will be awesome. I guess it will take some time to have some cool capsules running as a game, or the realities of gaming and voice merge, but this will be absolutely fascinating. You can live in a virtual reality and walk through a fantasy world, and you're interacting with voice. It will be like you're actually there.
Yeah, I share your excitement about the TV. I think that giant screen and voice had such an amazing opportunity. And thinking about more interactivity and not in a traditional video game, Xbox, PlayStation kind of joystick way, but where you're talking to your TV, I think that's going to unleash enormous amount of creativity and some interesting things coming up in the future. So I'll just share that I share your excitement for the TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking about this industry, what about the voice industry in general? What are you excited about that's emerging right now, or you're hearing is going to happen in the next year or two? Or maybe a better, different way to put it would be, what would you like to see happen in the short term in the next year or two with voice?
Well maybe voice assistants that can finally recognize cat meowing. I don't know. Maybe that would help. But we mentioned it. We mentioned it quite sometimes. I really like how text-to-speech is emerging, and that it will eventually get to the point where it can be really used for longer text without annoying the listener, but really to immerse him. That's what we are looking for. And also what we hope for is features like that you can use background sounds or background music while utilizing SSML. That would be really cool to have.
So what about longer time frame? What about 5 or 10 years from now? Kind of ask you to use your crystal ball. What do you think voice is going to be like in 5 or 10 years, or where would you like it to be in 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, there are two possibilities. One, no one will remember voice, like the data set from the C64. The younger listeners won't know what I'm talking about. But also possible, and much more probably the higher chance, will be that voice is an everyday standard in 10 years, and all kind of devices and medias will be connected by it, and products and voice services will have become much more individual than now. Maybe there won't be any movie or series where you have one movie for everyone. You will have interactive movies which will follow your own likings, because the artificial intelligence is learning what you like, what you want. So I guess this will be really great. It will have a great impact and big impact on our everyday life and our consuming behavior and on entertainment, especially, I guess.
Yeah, I share your optimistic viewpoint. You know, it's interesting. I have teenage daughters, and I call them the touch and swipe generation. They expect things to happen. Yes. But I think kids, young kids now, kids being born or born in the last couple of years, they're kind of the voice generation. And they're going to expect to be able to talk to things, right? What do you mean I can't talk to my technology? And so I think it's going to be kind of ubiquitous. Is certainly it's not the only way to interact with technology, and won't be either 5 or 10 years now. We'll still be probably swiping and typing and that, but you'll be able to go up to technology, interact with it and talk with it. And it'll be an expected part of the technology, which is a pretty exciting feature for us.
Definitely. And it's not only about how they use or make use of technology, it's also how they see technology. Because I listened to kids arguing with a father, and they said, why can't we play outside with our friend Alexa? Or why does Bixby has to go to bed? So for them, smart speakers, they are like friends. They're there for them. They provide cool input and cool things. So they have a whole different way of interacting, have a different attitude towards technology than we have. And I guess that this will be a very creative generation who is growing up now. I'm very excited to see what those kids will create and do in 10 years. That will be awesome.
Yeah, they'll blow our minds away.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not hindered by our kind of past thinking.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I think we always look at our past when we're looking forward. But if you're a kid, you're pretty much just looking forward. So
yeah, you're always in the middle of the action. You don't look anywhere but in your present time. And when they're older, I guess it will be great, really great.
Hey, guys. So I'm going to ask each of you this. One question I'd like to ask of everyone is, you've built many different voice experiences, but I always like to hear about other voice experiences that you really like and use a lot and why. So I'll let either of you start.
What I really like and what I think is the most dangerous and the best feature at the same time is the snooze mode. You don't even have to move a single bit to snooze your alarm clock. You just say, give me 10 more minutes or whatever. And the alarm gets off and you can sleep again. I think that's very dangerous, but very easy to use. And I really like it to get answers to quick questions, like when arguing with my wife over something, it's like this, no, it's like that, no, it's like this. And then you ask your all-knowing voice assistants, and they give you the answer very quickly. I like that feature. However, I still have the feeling that those voice assistants are more on my wife's side than on mine. But, well, maybe in a few years that will change.
Got it. Snoozing too easily. I use that too, and I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but it's certainly practical.
Yeah, but it takes like another 30 minutes from my day. It steals my time.
How about yourself, Christian?
Yeah, I'm a total story guy. I use a voice, of course, to explore other stories and games. For us in Germany, of course, I'm mostly using German skills. So it's very sad for us also to mention this year that the Bixby store in Germany has not opened yet. We are really looking forward to that because we have a lot of stories to publish in it, because we at the moment we can't afford to have all of them translated and voice recorded for US and other countries. So we are looking forward to the Bixby store in Germany. When I play stories, I like to see what other writers do or game designers. I played the Skyrim skill and Become Human, which are cool stories. I also played the games, so I was very curious about how do they tell their story on voice and what do they try to learn or to achieve with it. One of my favorite skills is also tape stories. It's a thriller, a German thriller story. It was made to make people aware of animal treatment in the industry, how animals are slaughtered so that we can eat meat. That's a cool attitude and a cool story, because you've got to save a person. You don't know much about the person you are going to save as a user. And at the end, it turns out, because you don't see the person as it's by voice, and in the end, it turns out that this is a rabbit which you are saving. And that's very cool. And I saw a guy on Facebook who had a very expensive car, a young guy with sunglasses and a sports car. And he wrote, "Well, that made me think about eating meat." And I think if a company or it's an organization who fights for animal rights, if they can address such a young guy with a sports car and deliver their message and make him think about, hey, how do I interact with my real world? What about eating meat? Is it right that animal has to die for them? So that's very cool what voice can achieve here.
That's great. You know, given what's happening in the world right now, a lot of us, I think about kind of social issues and that. And I've been thinking about, you know, technology for social good. And that's a great example of technology for awareness. For instance, you know, what does meat eating mean to the world? And there's many other things it could be used for. So I think it's a powerful tool that has been somewhat underutilized for thinking about bringing social good and social justice to the world. So lots of opportunities there. So if people like to keep in touch with Ear Reality and what you guys are doing or yourselves individually, what's the best way to do so?
Well, they can either visit our webpage, which is business.ear-reality.com, or they can write an email to info@ear-reality.com, or they can look for Christian Manke on LinkedIn or Ear Reality on LinkedIn and just get in contact with us. We always love to discuss and talk to writers or companies, people who want to be creative and are interested in storytelling. We want to talk with them, what happens, what are their ideas. So just everyone can feel free to connect us. We always love to get into talk.
Well, thank you, guys. I will add those to the show notes, the ways to keep in contact with. And I think if you're an author or someone who just has an idea for some kind of interactive voice experience, you definitely want to talk to Ear Reality and see what they can do for you. But listen, guys, thanks so much. Really excited to see what you're building with your tool. And I just love the idea of you guys empowering creatives from other industries to come into voice and build voice experiences, or just people who are in voice already and say, hey, I think voice is this incredibly powerful medium to build these rich interactive experiences, and building an easy to use tool really allows the creative side to go build that. So thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Roger. It was a pleasure.
Really yeah, thank great you very pleasure. Much for having us.
All right. Thanks, Christian and Sebastian. So that's all, folks. Till next time, this is Roger Kibbe of the Bixby Developers Chat signing off.